Let's go to Sportsnet.ca's Ian McIntyre, who is all things Vancouver Canucks, as the Canucks officially open camp today. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, and I agree with Ron and Poco, not necessarily about the spinning, but he should have called Travis Green right away.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were there and kind of listened to it, and you were asking some of those questions in that group scrum with Louis yesterday. I personally speaking, from an arm's length, I thought he handled himself fairly well. The only time I think he kind of tap danced was, you know, the idea of, you know, trying to be traded. You know, his agent was on record as saying it was time to try to find a place, and
right.
He just kind of said, "Look, I don't pay any attention to that sort of stuff. But you know, I'm here. Let's face facts of where we're at in the present, and that's where we are today." But I thought he handled himself fairly well.
Yeah, he did, but you would expect that for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's played over 900 games in the NHL and has spent most of his adult life in this environment, so he knows how to be a good pro. And also, you know, at heart, Louis's a good guy. You know, he does, I think, feel really badly that he has underperformed here and knows that somehow he has to be better. But I still think his deafening silence after those initial comments in May reflected a belief on their side that he wouldn't be playing here and that he didn't need to worry about, you know, Travis Green or whatever impact his comments had on the relationship, because he was looking for a fresh start, as you said, as his agent said as much. Even at the end of last season, Jim Benning, when asked about Louis Erickson and is it possible he needs a fresh start somewhere else, and Benning said, "Well, that's something we're going to look at." So if a trade was available to them where they could get a comparable player, even if it's a comparable salary, and that was automatic. If you were going to trade Louis Erickson, you're taking back somebody else's huge number. If they could have got a comparable player who could play in their lineup, I think they would have. But, you know, they risked, believe it or not, getting worse. If you make the wrong trade for somebody's bad contract and the guy can't play anymore, you're even worse. At least Louis can play. He can't play anywhere near what a $6 million player should be achieving, at least based on his body of work from the last 3 years, but he can still play. So there is that option that you can still have him in the lineup. He's a really good penalty killer. You can play him against the other team's top forwards, but you just would expect a whole lot more from that for somebody that you've committed $36 million to.
Ian, surprisingly, our poll question asked, do you think Louis Erickson will be here to start the season? To me, it's not even close, but 500 people, and it's a 51 to 49% split that they say, no, he won't be here. I think we, all four of us talking, would agree he will be here, but if I asked you that question and said, do you think he'll be here January 1, where would you say?
Yeah, I think he's still going to be here
this
season, because I just think that contract's not movable. Now, if you know, they're obviously going to have to deal with their cap at some point. And right now they may feel like they're tight to the cap, but it's going to be excruciating when they sign Besser. So they're going to have to figure out how that's all going to work. And one of the options, obviously, is to have Louis Erickson play in the minors. It only saves you $1.075 million. But if that's the difference between being cap compliant and not, and this is the big and they have players they feel can do what Louis does better than he does, then I think it's possible that he would go to the minors. But I don't think that contract can be moved to any other team. I think after this season, when there's only 2 years left, we'll see what other teams are like relative to the cap going into next season. I think there's a better chance to move him in the offseason, as long as Louis shows that he can still play and can still handle, you know, 8 to 14 minutes a night. I think it's portable after this season, but right now it's just not. I think they're stuck with that contract, and I think they've realized, probably since the Milan Lucic James Neal deal, that this was the reality, that they were going to have to find a way to fit him into the lineup, which really isn't that hard, but fit him into the salary cap, which is the big challenge.
Well, how are you going to fit Brock in? Ian, what are you hearing? We are hearing a million things. You and I talked last night. Why can't they do a long-term deal? That's what you want to do with your young superstars, lock them up long-term. But what are you hearing?
Well, I think the problem with the long-term deal is that Brock is running into is the same thing that all these RFAs are running into, is that teams are wary of taking on all the risk of a 6 to 8 year deal at a big number. And I think typically, a 6 to 8 year deal and let's just leave Brock out. Let's say it's Mitch Marner, because I know there's lots of chatter about him. We hate talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but anyways, just as an example. So on a long-term deal, Mitch Marner could get $10 or $11 million. But if it's a 3 year deal, it's going to be significantly less than that. And I think whatever the number is that Brock wants to sign for 6 or 7 or 8 years, clearly the Canucks aren't interested in going there, or not yet anyways, which is why the focus for the last few days, as you know, Rick, has been on maybe a bridge deal. But I would say, and Rick and I probably disagree on this, I would say that the issue of a long-term deal or non-long-term deal has not to do with the Canucks salary cap situation. They can find the money if they need it. If they needed $7 million to get Brock Besser to a long-term deal and were willing to pay that, they could create a $7 million hole in their under the salary cap to fit him in. It's not as hard as people think. They've got $4 million in change now. I think they're now up to 25 or 26 players. So already you're several players over the limit. And you don't have to have 23 players on your roster when the season starts. You can have 20. But I think the Canucks, they could probably do 21. They'd have one extra defenseman, no extra forwards to start. They get cap relief as soon as you bump Antoine Roussel onto IR after opening night. And then you have some flexibility, and you can call a forward back up. It is doable. I don't think the problem is the salary cap. I think the problem is what it's always been, typically in these situations, is that they just can't agree on the dollars.
It's the ask. No, I totally agree, and I think it's the ask and the want, right?
It's not only the ask. Yes, it's the ask if they're not moving, but there are two sides negotiating.
Well, no, it's the ask on the organizational part, and I think it's the ask on the players' part,
sure.
Right? It's who wants to, and what is ultimately the most palatable for both sides to ultimately agree on. No, I agree. I think the idea that this is that people have just been blaming and looking at a reason to kind of put the boots to Jim Benning, and Jim Benning's got his warts. I think it's been widely discussed about some of the hits and misses over the last half decade that he's been here. But I don't think you can just sit there Andrew Walker kind of went on about this about an hour or so ago talking to Ricky about this. But the idea that this just all of a sudden fell on their lap that, oh, we've got to get this Brock Besser deal done. They knew this was coming.
Yeah. I had several discussions with Benning over the summer, but I do remember one in particular shortly after they signed Michael Ferland, because that's when the cap number went more or less to what it is now. $4 million and change is what it shows on Cap Friendly. And I said, how are you going to fit Brock into here? And he didn't tell me step by step what they're going to do, but he made it very clear that they've mapped out several scenarios. They've mapped out long-term deals. They've got short-term deals. If they need to move people off of their payroll, they know how they're going to do that. And he made it very clear that if he can do a long-term deal with Brock Besser, that was still his preference. But again, it just comes down to negotiations and numbers. And they can't agree on a long-term number, and now they're, I presume, trying to agree on a short-term number. And they have, from now until October 2nd, I don't know how many days that is, 13, 19 days, so they have less than 3 weeks. And realistically, if you want Brock Besser in your opening night lineup, you better get him signed within the next week.
Ian McIntyre joining us on the starting lineup. As you get set for Victoria, and obviously Brock is the big talk, what else are you? Are we just presuming that Quinn Hughes is going to be a superstar? Have we put too much pressure on this kid?
Yeah. But I think he is going to be a superstar. So I don't know how I can't put that pressure on him, because he does seem to be that good. And we'll see how he does. We've been spoiled here with consecutive years, rookie seasons of Brock Besser and then Elias Pettersson. I think we all expect a lot. But listen, this guy was a steal, it seems, at number 7 in the draft. We saw in those 5 games, when he's thrown into the most intense, hectic, physical part of the regular season, right at the end, playing against a lot of big Western Conference teams, he not only was okay, he was arguably the Canucks' best defenseman over those 5 games. He played protected minutes, so let's not get too carried away about those 5 games, but he was very good, and I think he's a game changer for them. They've literally never had anybody like him in this organization, not one that they drafted and not one that they had at that age and the potential to have him for 10 or 12 years. So I think the excitement and the expectations for Quinn Hughes are justified, as long as people understand that he isn't yet 20 years old and he's going to make mistakes. And as he said, there's going to be some tough nights along the way.
Sportsnet 650.